And each time when I talk about a future, I look into the current situation. Somehow, reading from the periodicals and news that we are hearing today, it doesn't encourage you, isn't it, what the future is going to become. Economically, and also looking at the way social life has been lived in. And I also realize every time when we want to move forward in the future, there is this arsenal of the enemy that comes in and bludgeonly hit people's lives. We call that discouragement. Discouragement is a disease that spread out throughout the entire human being. Every one of us seated here in this room have gone through one way or another being discouraged. Sometimes some people try to handle a drunken husband and end up getting discouraged, and subsequently the family fell and collapsed. And I saw in the Bible how dangerous and how potent in the negative sense when discouragement creeps in. If you look into the Bible where the 12 spies went into the promised land, which God actually promised them, and as they were looking and scouting and analyzing, they came back. 10 of them spread out negative news. And what did the Bible say? It brought discouragement to the entire camp. And what happened after that? That discouragement led the entire nation into the wilderness for 40 years. Discouragement, it's a deadly emotion if we allow it to creep in. Because what happened is, when God began to give you an opportunity to move forward, we will miss the opportunity because we get so soaked in with discouragement. So today, I want to talk about it in Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 3. If you go along with me in this passage, you understand further as I explain to you what actually happened before this. The Bible says, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. After reading this passage, you're probably wondering, what is God trying to say through Isaiah? You must understand, prior to this, Israel has been judged by God. The wrath of God was poured upon him. They wandered, and the more they wandered, they lost their purpose. So God saw the need to speak these words to them because during that time, they could not see their future anymore. The future seems to be bleak. Some of us, while you are going through some situation, you don't seem to have a good and a great future right before your eyes. But I want to challenge you, even though your eyes may see the future bleak, but God actually behind it preparing you to have a bright future. So while they were going through that, they were very discouraged and sort of hindered them from making any progressive move. But the Lord spoke these words, a very powerful word to bring them back to reality that there is a future. Would you say an amen? I do not know what you go through, but every single one of us has a future. You remember Joshua, the Bible said to us that he was told to be strong and be courageous because he's going to lead the nation. Joshua was repeatedly told to be strong and courageous to obey the command that God has given to Moses. He was told several times to be strong and to be courageous. Why? Because the future is just right before him. Brothers and sisters, we cannot face our future with timidity. We cannot face our future with fear. We cannot face the future with uncertainties and anxieties. We cannot face the future with our discouragement. We have to face the future according to the word of God. Be strong and be courageous. And I want to share with you what the Lord's exclusive activity took place in the lives of these people from this passage. While they were very fearful, while they were afraid, while they were having doubts, what is going to happen to us in Babylon? We don't even know the land. Now we have been judged. We have been placed in that land that is foreign to us. What's happening? As you and I go through this passage very systematically today, I want you to see three very important facts. First of all, I want you to see the fact that God participates. God participates. Look at that same verse in verse 1 again. He used the word, but now. The word, but now, shows a contrast to Israel's present situation, present dismal condition, and trying to show to them what is going to happen. He says, but now, while you are going through this bad time, but now, I'm going to do new things in your life. He says, but now, listen carefully. He says, I'm going to give you new promises. I'm going to give you new journey. I'm going to give you new destiny. He says, while you are going through this bad road, he says, but now, I'm going to show you a new direction. What a beautiful word. The word, but now. While I'm in a very difficult time, and the Lord says, but now, you are going into a new promise. You are going to receive the new blessing. You are going to see the new way. But now. And I pray that all of us will have the same urge every time when you're walking in a very tight road and the Lord's voice comes to us, but now, I'm going to take you along with me. But now, you are not alone. But now, I am going to heal you. But now, you were once blind, but now you can see. But now, this is one word that we need to remind ourselves. John chapter 9 told us that the blind man was healed by the Lord. And the Pharisees questioned him. The Bible tells me that he was blind, but now he could see. I trust and I pray that our road will always have that but now road. When we walk, we can hear the voice of God says, but now, my son, but now, my daughter, come with me. But now, return to me. But now, give your life to me. But now, God participates by bringing change to us. That's why he used the word, but now. He wants to bring that change. And you notice as you go down into those verses, in verse 1, you will notice Jacob was created, Israel was formed by the Lord. He used that word. And 13 times, these two names were mentioned in Isaiah 48 and 49. Listen very carefully. Why did God use Jacob and Israel? We know that Jacob was a deceiver. But the Lord is trying to show us gradually the transformation is going to take place to become Israel, which means God rules. Jacob, who was once a deceiver, was a self-reliant individual. And now God says, I'm going to bring him and form him into Israel where I rule and no more self-rule. And that is why God brought Jacob and Israel to remind the nation, you were once living your life like Jacob. You were self-reliant. You did not acknowledge me, you did not worship me, and now I am taking you through this road and form you into the nation of Israel, where I rule, the Lord saith. This is where God is trying to tell us the word, but now. He's making the change. He's working out the formation. He's taking your life and my life during the early days, we were believers, but we were young. We made foolish mistakes. We walk along the path. We don't even know where we are going. We try this. We try that. Doesn't matter. God knows how to take us through. And he wants to form us into that man and a woman he wants you to be. Yes, you were once upon a time a young believer, still rugged, still rough, not knowing what you are doing. But the Lord is going to cut all these ages out and form us. All we are seeing here is God is transforming you. He's participating by transforming you for a change. Why? Because there is a future. Change is necessary if you and I want to go for the future. Are you with me today? Come on, can I hear an amen? What I realized in the transformation journey, we need God to participate in our life. That's where your future comes. Your future is not without God's participation. He's always there working out. Our present state, listen carefully, is not your future. Your present state is not your future. God is participating in transforming you, who you are right now, for the future, because the future requires change in the present. If there is no change in the present, then we will miss out our future. We need that change. And God was working in Israel by transforming them. He says, I'm bringing you into the land Babylon so that he's going to transform them into the nation called Israel rather than they trying to live their life as Jacob. The next thing that we saw that God is taking us into the future is simply because God intervenes. The first one is God participates. The next one is that God intervenes. Look at the next verse. It says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. I want to take the very first word, fear not. Do not fear. What does it mean? Fear not is a very clear message that Yahweh has not lost control of the things. God is saying to you, fear not about your future because I am in control of what is taking place. Amen? There's nothing that occurs outside of God's foreknowledge. We already seen how God could do great things beyond our imagination. His knowledge is unlimited. The Bible tells me he knows the end before the beginning. Wow. I am so secure that my life is ready in his knowledge. Not something that God would say, oh, what a surprise. I didn't know you're going to do that. No. God knew every step of our lives. Listen carefully. Even the book of Luke chapter 2, remember the shepherds were in the field and the angels appeared before them and they told these shepherds, fear not. Do not be afraid. He said very clearly, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. I will bring good news. What God is saying is this. Guys, be not afraid. I'm able to intervene because I am in control. God's intervention takes you to the place where help is needed. During that time, it was time for the Son of God to come. It was the time where Herod is going berserk. It's a time where this Herod might kill the babies. It was that time. And it was the time when God wants to intervene by bringing his son to this world. Some people may complain, well, if God intervened, you know, I don't understand. If God is in control, then why? Why is the family roof falling apart? Why is there evil and wickedness? You see, God's intervention is to bring you to the ultimate place where God will have his greatest glory. But while he prepares you for that ultimate purpose, you may see people making silly mistakes where families after families, the roof falls apart. Broken families seems to be rapidly spreading all over. And sometimes we see wickedness everywhere. We wonder, is this the kind of world we are living in? God is showing us this is not your future. This is not the world you are living in. There is a greater place. There is the ultimate purpose. And all these silly mistakes, greed and selfishness that man has made and caused the ramifications of life here that God wants to take them into the ultimate purpose. So while these things are happening, God intervenes and takes it because help is needed. God's intervention reveals our dependency. We all need to learn how to depend on God. 2 Corinthians 4:17, 18. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but for what is unseen is eternal. Let me tell you what's the purpose of God's intervention. The purpose of God's intervention from the scripture, he says, I have redeemed you. I want you to understand every time when God intervenes, it's simply to save you. Save you out of the trouble. Save you out of the danger. To save you in the midst of a situation probably called death. I just heard the radio, the news yesterday in Sunrise. In America, there was a lady that committed herself in Somali to help the people there. And then she was kidnapped by the Somalians, the army, and she was used for ransom, and they asked the American to give $45 million for her life. She was thinking to herself, there's no way she could do it, and she was prepared. She was kept there for 3 months, and she was prepared probably the day will come and she will be shot dead. Lo and behold, the president of the United States, Obama, actually gave a call and they sent a Navy SEAL to go in and to rescue her. And she was rescued. There was an intervention. And there was just one call and intervention came. I do not know about you, but sometimes we think that prayer is not important. But the prayer is that one call unto God that we can find and experience an intervention. God's intervention was to save us. That's why God said to Isaiah, I have redeemed you. The word I have redeemed you is not about their past, though the Lord has delivered them from the hands of Egypt. But what the Lord is saying through Isaiah is this, I have redeemed you. The grammar that was used is to tell us there is a certainty of the future redemption. You see, what God is saying to Israel is that you are in the hands of God's greater plan. There is a greater plan where God has for you and for me. So we are placed in His hands right now. And you and I must see that image at this point of time that your life is in His hands. We sang the song, He holds my tomorrow. He holds my future. I don't want you to look at your condition to determine your future. I want you to look your life in the hand of the Almighty God that no one can take it away. No one can snatch it away. And when you're placed in His hands, He says, I have redeemed you. You know, God used Jeremiah too. Jeremiah was used as a prophet repeatedly talking to the people to repent, but they refused. And so they end up in a very bad situation and they were brought into captivity for 70 years. And you know what? In the midst of that captivity, this is what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 13. in the midst of that captivity, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You see, they were not seeking God with all their hearts. They actually dismissed God. And now they were placed under the judgment for 70 years captivity. And God yet used these words to speak to them and said, "For I know the plans I have for you. Go for the 70 years. Don't worry. I will intervene. I will take charge of the situation. Go there to the land Babylon and build your homes and raise up your families for 70 years. Why? God is his reason. And I will tell you later. But at this point of time, God is saying, "I have a plan for you." Brothers and sisters, this is exactly what intervention is. The redemption of the Babylonian captivity was a sign. Was a sign to them that there's a greater redemption. And that redemption is called the power of the blood of Jesus. That redemption that we see in Babylon has a greater redemption right now. And this is God's greater plan for all of us. He intervened your life by shedding his blood for your sins. Now you're covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. His intervention has taken place. The enemy cannot penetrate, provided we walked away from that blood of Jesus Christ. And in that intervention, he also said, "I summon you by name. You are mine. You are mine." I don't know how you think about this. You know, just like a father comes to you and grab hold of you, embrace you. "Son, you are mine." How do you feel that? Isn't it wonderful to know that my Father summoned me by my name? And the word "summon" doesn't mean that he just grabbed you. You know what? The word "summon you by name," that means I've called you, I've commanded you, and now I've commanded you also into action. Now, when you are summoned by his name, you are not just summoned into God's presence and that's about it, having this cozy feeling. But you are also summoned into action. All right, so that's what God is saying through Isaiah. "I've summoned you by name. I've commanded you into action as well." And not only that, I want you to realize that if you look at this verse 2, the verse 2 is very important. He said the word, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you pass through or walk through the fire, they will not burn you." You know something? These words, water, these words such as flood, these words such as fire, they are telling us that we do have trials in our life. You know, sometimes we have sermons that tells us everything is very cozy. We can't have these lies going around that Christianity is a cozy life. We do have trials. Do you understand what I'm saying? We do have testings. We do have some situation where we need to go through and battle through. And that's why the Lord's intervention is very important. He told us very clearly, "When you pass through the waters," he says, "I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you. When you pass through or you walk through the fire, even that will not burn you." Wow, how can that ever happen? In reality, in the natural realm, it's impossible. But these can be a reality because God intervenes. And when God began to intervene in our lives, we must picture that journey where our Lord is saying to us, "I look beyond your circumstances." God's intervention always takes us beyond our circumstances. Sometimes we get so caved in by our own inner circumstances. Things that we have not even got rid of. Things that we struggle within and we just could not understand. Things that psychologically we try to push it aside, but yet it is bothering us every night. Sometimes the image would just keep coming in. But the Lord says here, "I'm going to take you beyond that because I can intervene." brothers and sisters, your future is not going to be a plain future. There will be trials. There will be actions required of us. But ultimately, God's intervention is to save us. He will intervene your life. Are you with me? God has done that through Noah. He brought Noah through the waters of the flood. So God says to Israel, I will also bring you through the waters of adversity. God has brought Israel through the raging water at Jordan River. And God says, I will also hold back the raging rivers that threatens the existence of your life. Because God's intervention is real for your future. My future is not without God's intervention. My future is not without God's participation to change my life. 70 years of captivity is enough time to position the Israel, entire Israel, in this foreign land so that they can influence the Gentiles with the truth of Jehovah God. The rivers will not sweep you. The fires will not burn you. The reason is because God decided to take Israel through his intervention by carrying them to this land because they failed God on the Sabbath day. They failed to fulfill their Sabbath. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath was a day of rest. In our modern day today, people are still struggling, wondering whether Saturday or Sunday is a Sabbath day. To me, any day can be a Sabbath day. Any day. A day that you set aside to rest before God. A day that you put aside just worshiping God together as a body of Christ. That's the day we call it a Sabbath day. I know of people who tries to debate over Saturday and Sunday. The day of rest is a day where you sit before the Lord and rest in His presence and worship Him. Any day can be a day of rest. But for the church here, we believe Sunday is the day of rest for us. And so that's exactly what I called it, a Sabbath day. But you see, what happened was Israel did not obey God. They did not fulfill the Sabbath, and that's what caused them to be led into captivity. Look at what the Lord said here. In Leviticus chapter 26, verse 34 to 35, He says, then the land will enjoy its Sabbath all the days of the desolation. They were brought into captivity. While you are in your enemy's land, then the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbath. All the days of its desolation, it will observe the rest, which it did not observe on your Sabbath while you were living on it. So you were telling Israel, you were living on that land, but you did not fulfill the Sabbath. And now you are entering to 70 years of captivity for one Sabbath a year. And 2 Chronicles 36 says this, and those who had escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon, and they were servants to him and to his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbath. All the days of his desolation, it kept Sabbath until 70 years were complete. The Lord placed them in that land so that they may fulfill the Sabbath day. Imagine, their own land they can't fulfill, got to be trained in another land. But while they are there, God will intervene in their lives and use them to influence the Gentiles in that land. Brothers and sisters, you know what the Lord is doing? The Lord is intervening for His people so that the day will come when they return to Him with a new perspective. I believe a lot of time God took us through a journey where sometimes we wonder, why am I not excited for the Lord? Why am I struggling? Why didn't I understand this whole concept of Christianity? Why am I feeling so lousy each time when I go about with my Christian life? Why? Sometimes we walk through that journey and we couldn't understand. We are baffled by it. And we thought, God, Are you there? Do you really care for me? Do you really love me? I'll tell you honestly, the Lord's love is everlasting. He never changes. He always loves you. The thing is that how you feel about it is not according to what you think. The reason why He's taking you through that journey is to prepare you to see Him. He wants you to go through, and then He intervenes in your life so that the day when you return and call upon Him and cry out to Him, you're going to see a fresh perspective of who God is. I believe a lot of Christians need to see a fresh perspective of God. And I really encourage you today is to work through that perspective. And that's exactly what the Lord is working right now in our lives. And you know, during this time, God also guarantees. He not only participates, not only intervenes, but He also guarantees. Now look at verse 3. In verse 3, the first part, it says, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Take note of that sentence. This divine title echoes true right exactly during the time of Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, the Lord said, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of Israel." It was an introduction of who God is. And this is the same title being used by Isaiah. What God is saying is, Israel's safety will be guaranteed by God's presence. Listen, I don't know what you're thinking, but the word of Isaiah has a lot of historical facts. And it's trying to throw back to us right now, is that when God began to describe Himself, "I'm the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior," He's trying to say, "I guarantee your safety. I guarantee your safety because my presence is there." And if you look into the historical facts, Israel have this phenomenal deliverance, and they were also given miraculous provision. Am I right or not? When they needed food, there was food. Amen. So they were crying now to God, and God delivered and gave them food. What I see is this: God's presence does guarantee our existence and also have given us provision with proper direction as well. Our life journey is not something that when you walk, you're saying, "Is this the road? Or is this the one? Or am I supposed to go straight?" You see, God guarantees our path. As long as you and I abide in Him, He guarantees your path. Let me show you some other scriptures right now. First of all, I want you to recognize the three epithets of God Himself. What was the three epithets? He says this: the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, and your Savior. Three epithets. And they are very important to us because the very first one, "I am the Lord your God," God is saying that I've entered with my people into the covenant at Mount Sinai. I've entered the covenant. Brothers and sisters, you have also entered into the covenant by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have entered into that covenant. And the Lord said very clearly that when you enter into the covenant at Mount Sinai, you have to learn to depend on me. And God is saying that, "Israel, you are assured of my favor." How do I know that? Because He said these words, "I will not abandon my people." He said that. And that was the surety of God's favor. Listen, I don't know what favor you're asking, but the only favor that I'm really asking is this, just one thing. I need the presence of God. Moses says, "If you don't go with me, I'm not going." That's what Moses said in Exodus chapter 33. And what I'm saying here is this: whatever you do today, do you actually ask God to go with you? Do you say, "Lord, I need your presence. This is a covenant the Lord has given to you. I will not abandon you. I will not leave you. I will be with you." So each day when I walk, I know my Lord is with me. When I go out into the field, I know the Lord is with me. When I go into my office, I know the Lord is with me. Because He says, "I am the Lord your God." Which means to say that every time when He says, "I will not abandon you," but if I at any point of time goes through some issues and problem, He says, "Don't worry, I will restore you." And that's what He does. That's what He does. And then the next thing He says, He is the Holy One of Israel. You know what it means, the Holy One of Israel? It simply means God exists independently of Israel. He is not subject to the pathetic situation of Israel. I'm telling you that. What God is saying, when He said, I am the Holy One of Israel, I'm not subject to your vicissitudes, your fluctuations of your emotion, your life, your uncertainties. I'm not subject to it. I'm not tied to your situation. That's why He says, I'm the Holy One of Israel. Whatever change of fortune you may have, He says, I am with you. And I am there to help you through. He's not subject to any of our pathetic situation of life. The third one is this. He says, you're a savior. Yahweh refers to Himself as your savior. What does it mean as your savior? That means God is saving His people many times. If you look into the history, they are constantly saved. Every time they cried out, God saved them. Every time when they cried out, God saved them. But this time round, they had to go through the captivity. Yet He says, I will save you. Wow. You know what it means? It simply means, He said, church, you may be going through danger. You may be going through any uncertainties right there in front. Hey, I will save you because I am your savior. Three epithets was mentioned to Israel that they have a covenant with God. And He says, I'm not going to subject to your uncertainties of your life. Whatever you go through, I will still be with you because I'm the Holy One of Israel. And at any point of time you cried out, I will save you. That's the kind of future I have right now because I know that my God tells me, no matter how much contingency, no matter how much uncertainties that the earth has, sometimes it may happen, sometimes it may not happen. No matter how uncertainty it may come around, He says, I will guarantee you. How do you go about having this guarantee? Some of you will probably say, well, the Lord says so, so I believe. No, it's not only that. I want you to look into the scripture, which most of you studied Ephesians chapter 1. This is what happened in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. He says, the Holy Spirit is God's deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. God is here with a business to guarantee. And how does He guarantee? He guarantees us with His Holy Spirit. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36. He says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And this is what happened. The New Testament showed me that it has been fulfilled because the Holy Spirit has been poured down. You have the Holy Spirit now. And this is exactly what you need to do. He says this, the Holy Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. The Spirit of God is directing us to follow and to keep God's word. And what must I do then? I must keep myself close to the work of the Holy Spirit. Because this guarantees my steps towards my future. He says the Holy Spirit is the deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. And we need to work along with the Holy Spirit to assure ourselves that this inheritance will be fulfilled. The Lord is saying the Holy Spirit has come. The book of Acts shows us that the Lord poured down His Holy Spirit upon mankind. And brothers and sisters, Psalms 37, 23, 24, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. Some of you thought that God guarantees you no matter what you do. Look at the verse again. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him. God guarantees our steps as long as we delight in Him. As long as we follow His ways, He guarantees, He assures you all that He has promised for you. Brothers and sisters, I know that my future and your future perhaps has this pathway And we constantly ask ourselves, what is my future? Is there something that assures me that I will have a bright future? Looking at who my God is, He participates, He intervenes, and He guarantees. I know my future is assured. Are you with me? And lastly, but not least, in the conclusion, His participation is full of the transforming power. He keeps changing us. He participates by changing you. Because you know why? Every future requires a changed life. Every future. If you're going to live in your present state of where you are, then we may miss our future. But the future requires change. And God's intervention is full of His intention to help us see His perspectives. Every time when He intervenes, He saved you. And when He saved you, He's going to bring fresh perspective to you. You can see Him in a very fresh new way. Because you never could understand much earlier before. When I was young, I always look unto the Lord as though that God every time answers my prayer. As I grow older, I realize some of my prayers are not answered. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of you, as you grow older, you realize, hey, how come the prayers doesn't answer so quickly, huh? My sisters and my brothers, when they came to know the Lord after me, every time when they pray, God answers, God heals, God did this. Wow, they get so excited. But as they grow in the Lord, year after year, they realize, hey, how come my prayers are not answered anymore? Then I was just wondering, God, what's happening? Did we falter somewhere? Did we fail you somewhere? God, is there something wrong with me that my prayers are not answered? No. I began to see new perspective. I began to see God training me and causing me to stretch my faith muscles to believe in Him. And the more I stretched myself, I realized I became stronger in my faith. If God were to give you answer, you do not need to stretch your faith muscles anymore. But I realize God wants me to stretch my faith. Because maturity requires that sort of attitude. But let me tell you this. God did not stop answering your prayer. He always answers. It's not your timing. I know there are prayers been answered. There are prayers still not answered yet. But I want you to see one thing for yourself, for your family. If you are praying for something and you don't see it happening, I know God is going to intervene. And God is going to show you a fresh perspective, what it means to wait upon Him. And lastly but not least, is the guarantees. God guarantees us, and He stamps the fact that the enemy cannot change His promises. All that God has given to you, friends, it is guaranteed as long as we walk in His ways. Are you with me? We tell the students in the school, I can guarantee you that you will pass as long as you do this. Am I right? If you are a music teacher, I guarantee you, if you practice, I'm sure you'll do well. Isn't it true? And that's exactly what the Lord is saying. I guarantee you as long as you walk in my ways. And God guarantees Israel for that. Brothers and sisters, let us not kid ourselves by saying that my future depends on what I would do right now. Yes, it's true. But I believe that our future not depends on what we do right now, but depends on what God does with us right now. And when we submit to that, I believe with all my heart, you are moving towards a very bright future. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.